close. God bless you, church. God is a good God. Amen. I want to say, first of all, I just really feel the presence of God in this place this morning. The worship was just outstanding. And wow, are you guys ready? Amen. Come on, get excited, church. I want to extend my thankfulness and my just love to Pastor Matt and Carol. Thank you for the opportunity you have given me to preach at one of the most well-known churches in Brisbane. And it's a real honor and a privilege. And Pastor Dave and your lovely wife, I do have alluded, her name is Luelle. Thank you so much for your grace. And God is a good God, amen. Before I start preaching, I just want you to do something for me. I want you to turn to the person next to you and I want you to smile at them. And I want you to ask them a very important question this morning. Have you brushed your teeth this morning? The reason I ask this is because I believe when we come to the house of God, we come with joy in our spirits, amen. And the word that God has given me this morning confirms all the prophetic words that have been spoken, that we can have joy in the middle of our storms. And so if we come to the house of God and we're not smiling, it's either because we haven't brushed our teeth and we're a little bit embarrassed, or we have lost our joy. But this morning, when none of us are going to leave this place and not have joy in our spirit, amen. How many people believe that in the presence of God, there is joy? Come on, church, wake up this morning. If you've come to church and listened to this really, you know, quiet preacher, well, with all due respect, you've come to the wrong place. I am a very loud preacher. I love getting involved. I think the church needs to be interactive, because the Bible says that the praises of God's people are like a roaring thunder, amen. So when we make a noise, we're actually prophesying and decreeing to the enemy that, hey, we're here, we're not dead yet, and we're going to still be a continuous thorn in your side, amen. So church, I want you to get uncomfortable this morning. I want you to get ready to come alive and experience the joy that God has for us. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Amen. If you do not know where the book of Luke is, you will find it after Genesis and before Revelation. Amen. When you have Luke chapter 8, please give me a shout of amen so I know that you're listening. This morning, I know that God is going to bless you. Because one thing that we look at when we come to the body of Christ and when we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and we repent from our sins, is we understand that God gives us joy and we understand that God is with us through our problems and through our storms. But one thing that I find across the world as we travel, a lot of Christians don't really look into or understand, is just what do we do when we're in a storm and Jesus seems asleep. Amen? There are a lot of times that we face storms in our lives and we say the Christianese language is, it's okay, I've got Jesus, he's with me. But what do we do when that Jesus who is with us is actually sleeping? It's a pretty intense question, because I believe with all my heart that a lot of Christians have this mentality that as long as Jesus is with us, we're not going to go through storms. And as I think sister, wherever she said this morning, it is so, I believe you said it this morning, it is so true that, you know what, when I became a born-again Christian, a very well-meaning gentleman came up to me and he said to me, Justin, welcome to the kingdom of God. Your life is going to become so much more easy now. That was 18 years ago now. And to this day, I'm still searching for that man. I want to punch him. I'll pray for him afterwards. I'll do the whole Benny Hinn thing. Oh, pick him up. But he told me a falsehood. He didn't mean it. I'm sure he meant well. But he told me that, praise God, now that you're a born-again Christian, your life is going to be filled with glory. It's going to be filled with streets of paved with gold and mansions, and you're not going to have a problem again. How many people know that's a lie? Come on. Oh, only four people. Come on, show me your hands. How many people know that being a born-again Christian is a dangerous walk? In fact, Jesus said himself in Luke chapter 11, I believe it was, he turned around and he says, foxes have holes, you know, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Was it Luke 11? It was somewhere around there. In other words, when we walk the Christian life, we're a moving target. We're always going to be having somebody or something aim their arrow at us to try and trip us up. Amen. So this morning, the question I'm going to ask all of us is just what do we do when we face ourselves or we find ourselves in a storm and Jesus is asleep? Luke chapter 8, verse 22. It says, one day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. And so they started out. And as they were sailing, Jesus fell asleep. Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly a strong wind blew down on the lake and the boat began to fill with water so that they were all in great danger. The disciples went to Jesus and they woke him up saying, Master, Master, we're about to die. How is it that we can be in the presence of Jesus and still think death approaches us? How is it we can still be in the glory of God and in the presence of Jesus Christ and still fear and have a fear for that dark moment? See, to put it into context, they got in the boat after Jesus had just come from a funeral. And Jesus rose or raised from the dead a young man. These disciples had been walking with Jesus a long time and they'd seen some pretty crazy stuff. To have walked with Jesus Christ, you would have seen the phenomenal, amen? You would have seen dead bodies raised. You would have seen the miracle of fish produce and bread produce. In fact, being a follower of Jesus Christ in his day was not a boring lifestyle. In fact, waking up every morning, I believe that the people who were following Jesus Christ were saying, oh, what's next? I mean, do you see what he did yesterday? He rose a dead man. He's alive again. Speaking of that, I don't know if you've seen us on Facebook at all. We recently went to the Princess Alexandra Hospital. We had a man called Henry who had a very, very severe cerebral hemorrhage. And in the process of having a cerebral hemorrhage, he fell over and whacked his head on the ground. So he had a double whammy. And I got a phone call from a friend from a pastor in Melbourne and said, Justin, there's a guy that's just come up from our church. His father's in hospital near the PA hospital. Do you live near there? I said, well, not really, but we'll go anyway. Tell us the story. So he told us the story. We went into to the hospital 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday and the man was dead. There was no activity. Dead. Gone. The nurses and the doctors, we went in and the family allowed us to go in as ministers and I praise God for the family. They're beautiful people and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what I loved about it is they didn't just hear the gospel, they saw the gospel in action. We as Christians, just a side note, we as Christians, we have to transcend our faith from this and into this. We have to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ as well. So we walked into this room and we saw he was on this the heart-lung monitor and all the computers. And the nurse, I actually asked the nurse, I said, how do you know he's brain dead? And she said, well, you see that line there? Just nothing, just minimal moving. She says, that's supposed to be like this. I said, okay, so there's no activity. She says, there's no activity at all. So, okay. I'm with a couple of other guys who were part of the Tent of Hope, the awakening that we just recently had. And we said, all right, let's just pray. Let's just put our faith into action. Of course, in the back of our minds, we're like, Jesus, you got to come to the party, man, because half these family, they're not believers. And if we come in and say that a miracle is going to happen and nothing's going to happen, we're going to look really bad, God. You got to come to the party. And so we began to declare life. John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come to give life and life in abundance. So we placed our Bibles on his body. And we said, let's just do this. And I looked at Aaron and Aaron looked at me and I looked at Finley. Finley, we all looked and we said, let's just do it. And we said, Henry, wake up. Funny thing is, we didn't say in Jesus' name. We just said, Henry, wake up. And all of a sudden, his eyes open. The nurse comes running in going, whoa, that's different. And I said, Henry, now this guy was a Maori, right? And so, you know, any Maoris or New Zealanders in the room? Okay, so do you guys know how Maoris communicate with each other? It's like this. So I said, Henry, can you hear me? And he squeezed my hand a little bit. I said, brother, as a joke, I said, hey, bro, you're a Maori. Talk to me, bro. And he does this from his bed. And we're like, hallelujah, he woke up. Come on, church, he woke up. Sadly, a couple of days ago, he passed away. But not because of a lack of miracle, but that's a side story. But the beautiful thing is, he got a chance to say goodbye to his family. His family got a chance to say goodbye to him, and he got a chance to hear the gospel a final time before he went to be with his Lord. Amen. In storms, God always comes into the presence. And we see here that these men were on a boat and they started to cry out, "Jesus, we're going to die." I find that funny that they've been walking with Jesus all this time and they still don't have the faith to believe that they're going to survive when he's in the boat. But what do? When we find ourselves in a storm and we're praying and we're crying out to God and he's asleep. It's a question we need to be asking ourselves, because I think a lot of the times we go and we just say the words in hope that Jesus hears us. But sometimes, you know, the old adage that when there is an examination, the master is always asleep or he's always quiet. Many times in our lives, we find ourselves in problems not because we've done something wrong, but because there is a lesson to be learned. Luke chapter 4 clearly says that the Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness. What's interesting, it doesn't say that Jesus went to the wilderness of his own accord. It says, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Sometimes, church, the problem that you're facing isn't actually a problem. Sometimes the dryness or the desert or the storm that you're in is because our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I need you to go there because I need to see what you've learned. I need to see, what have you been listening from me? What have you been sponging off me and learning how to stand in the moments where I'm not there? You know, remember when Jesus ascended to heaven, he says this. He goes up to heaven and he says, I am going, but go into Jerusalem and wait. Go and wait. And of course, the men, they're standing looking at this Jesus who's just gone, and the angels say, why are you staring at this Jesus? For in the same way that he has gone, the same way he shall come back, but do what he says, go. All of a sudden, Jesus was gone. What do we do now? Well, what did he say? Go. Sometimes we find ourselves in a problem because God has sent us there. What's really, really interesting to note, and I wrote down my little notes here. They went in the boat, but it was Jesus that instigated them to go to the other side. It wasn't them that decided to go in the boat. I need you to hear me, Christians. Sometimes God is going to lead you to a storm. Oh, you didn't get that. Sometimes the storms that you find yourself in is because God himself is taking you there. You see, Jesus says, let's get into the boat. Of course, the disciples, we've got Jesus Christ. I mean, nothing can harm us. He is the Messiah. We've seen dead people rise. Oh, sure, we'll get into the boat. And what does he do? He goes to sleep. You know, we went Christmas shopping yesterday in Browns Plains, Grand Plaza. And there was a moment, I like Christmas shopping. I'm not worried about my wallet getting smaller because Jehovah Jireh is my provider. What I fear when I go to the shops at Christmas time are the people. For some reason around Christmas, older people seem to have a spring in their step. And when they've got those trolleys, they push you out of the way. We were walking through Kmart yesterday looking at what we're going to get our children. They're not in the room right now. We're getting them some electric scooters, but shh. Did they hear that? And so we're walking through Kmart, and I tell you not, there was so many people in that place. And like, I'm not being disrespectful, but there was an older lady, she was probably in her 70s, and she was like Speedy Gonzalez, man. She was not gonna, and she hit me on the leg with her trolley. And I'm like, sorry. She didn't say anything, but in her head, she was probably the get out of my way. I wanted to be like Jesus in that moment. I wanted to be asleep. Let the storm happen. I'll just go to sleep. You have to understand that Jesus, as I said, he's going to bring you into times, into situations where you think that he's not with you. Following Jesus is never boring. Come on, church. Let's wake up. Following Jesus is never boring. Come on, if you're going to give a clap, don't be ashamed. Come on, give a clap. If you hear something good, people tell me all the time, oh, Christianity's boring. Well, you're doing it wrong. Oh, Christianity is just a dry religion. No, it's not. How can you say Christianity is boring? I mean, we're in Malaysia. We went into this project, for poor people. What do you call them, the projects? It's like a project. And we go into this place and the church that we were ministering at said, oh, we want to take you to a Bible study, but it's on the 11th floor of this really poor project. Like, cool, no probs. And they had these elevators that I don't think even Jesus would go in them. And she said, let's not use the elevators because they actually steal the copper wires so they can sell the money to buy food. Okay, let's climb up these 11 flights of stairs where there's feces everywhere and there's cats puking everywhere and the smells are atrocious. And so we go up 11 flights and we come into this really small room and there's a lady in a wheelchair. How did she get up there? So I asked a question. How did that lady get up here? They carried her every day. 11 stories. So we went into this Bible study. And I tell you now, the presence of God was just powerful. We walked in there and people were praising. You know, sorry to say this, but in Australia, we're very dry when it comes to our praise and our worship. We're very quiet. You go to other countries, and my goodness be, they are hungry for God. They don't wait for the pastors. You know, they don't wait for the pastor. Oh, we have to wait for the pastor to start. They start without him. And if the pastor's late, they rebuke the pastor. And so we walk in, and there's praise and worship going, and there's people jumping. And all of a sudden, Carolina, she goes, honey, can I go pray for that woman? I said, why are you asking me? Just pray. You don't need my permission. All the women said amen to that. Oh, I like this preacher. Power to the women, amen. And so I said to her, it's okay, honey, just go pray. The thing is, yeah, you didn't pray for healing. She said, ma'am, I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. The woman jumped out of the wheelchair. Oh, come on, there's that half clap again. What's wrong with you people? She didn't just jump out. She started to jiggle. And I'm not being disrespectful, but she was a larger lady. And that's okay. She was full of life. She jumped up and she started to jiggle and she started to worship. We couldn't shut her up. After about half an hour, she's like, I don't know if it was tongues or Hindi. I'm not too sure. Sounded the same. Oh, sorry, she was Tamil. We couldn't shut her up. Jesus isn't boring, church. He's not boring, church. When you come to church, we should come to church expecting things to happen. When we come to church, we come to church expecting the miracle of God. Too many Christians today said, oh no, you're glory chasers. No, I'm not a glory chaser, but the Bible says when the preaching of the word is spoken, so are signs and miracles and wonders that follow. But what happens when you're in a storm? Whew. Are you getting something this morning? Jesus, on many occasions, was quiet in the middle of a storm. He himself went before the Sanhedrin. He was about to go on a cross. He knew that he was about to be crucified. And yet, he said nothing. Church, we find ourselves in bigger problems when we open our mouths too much in those problems. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And we invoke the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, he's going to get me out of this problem. And Jesus is looking and saying, why? I took you there. Jesus, I'm in this problem. Yes, I took you there. But Jesus, in your name, I can get out. But no, not until you've learnt. You see, being in the kingdom of God is all about learning. Those that have children who are parents here, you know that being a parent sometimes means having to see them go through some pain. Do you want them to go through pain? No. But they have to. They have to. Just this week I was talking with an atheist, which is always fun. And we were talking for a while and it got to the end of it and he says, well, Justin, if Jesus really was real, why doesn't he come down and fix all the problems? I said, he did 2,000 years ago. Well, I don't believe that. I know you don't. And I said to him, but entertain me for 1 second. If we're all in this world and the world's in so much problems, because he was talking about wars and diseases and famines and people being mean to each other, and let's be honest, that's where the Bible says we are today. Matthew 24 says we are in that season. There are wars all over the place. There's famines. There's pestilences. Many people are offended. Goodness me, you can't even say anything these days without some protest happening up. Do you know you can't even say snowman anymore? True story. It was on the news. You can't say snowman anymore because the feminists got offended. Why couldn't it be snow woman? Oh, come on, guys. Really? You're not allowed to say, can't you? I'm bringing home the bacon anymore because it's offensive to vegans. We live in a society where everybody is, see, people are laughing, but this is reality. And so he's saying, well, there's all these problems happening. If God was real, why doesn't he fix them? He said he did at the cross. And those that believe in the cross, those that believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, those who believe in Jesus, we have peace. We have joy. We know all this stuff is going on around us, but you know what? It doesn't matter to us because we know who we are. We know where we're going and we know where we've come from. Oh, well, if Jesus went on the cross and died for me, it wasn't enough. That's what he said. I said, Jacob, you're in a very bad place right now. But praise God, the love of God, it surpasses all understanding. And I'm telling you now, Jacob, you're going to be one of the biggest preachers we've ever seen in this world today. I'm not going to preach your Jesus. Oh, but you are, my friend. John 14:14, ask anything in my name and I shall do it to the glory of the Father. Father, there's one who doesn't believe in you. Can you please change his mind? I know that there'll be a testimony coming forth. He'll come through and go, Justin, were you praying for me? Yes, I was. In a storm, we can have joy, but what do we do? The question I asked, what do we do when we find ourselves in a storm? The first thing we don't do is we don't panic. You hear a negative medical report. Okay. I was diagnosed 2 weeks ago with two conditions. I panicked. We went to get a second opinion. The first doctor messed up. True? Diagnosed me with diabetes and hemochromatosis. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm getting old, getting a little bit fat. I got to cut. I'll take Coke Zero instead of Coke. And my wife is forever telling me, stop eating those lollies. I panicked. Of course, you're a human being. You panic. Oh my God, I'm going to die. I was like the disciples in the boat. Oh my goodness me, I'm going to die. Jesus, I'm going to die. I panicked, and even she said to me, where's your faith? Yeah, I got slapped. And I said, it's in the boat. Went for a second opinion, and the second doctor down at Browns Plains Medical says, what is this first doctor talking about? You're perfectly fine. What? I even went for another test. He goes, no, there's nothing there. I'm all good. Come on, church. Praise God. The problem was that I panicked. So what not to do in a crisis? I'm a bus driver. Sorry about that if I've cut you off before. Some people are laughing. Yes, we cut people off because we're allowed to. No, legally we are. No. Anyway, so I'm a bus driver. And the golden, are you a bus driver, sir? BT? I'm not talking to you. sir, we need to pray for this man, okay? Yeah. I'm from Logan. Yeah, you know those cowboys that you see on the busway that cut you guys off? It's probably me. Anyway, so we're taught the first thing you don't do if you take a wrong turn is panic. I remember the first time I was doing a bus and I took a wrong turn for the first time. I had this one old lady on the bus and I realized this was in Perth, Western Australia. I was doing a 158 down to Fremantle and I took a wrong turn. Part of me could say, oh no, what do I do? The lady says, driver, you've taken the wrong turn. Instinctively, I said, no, ma'am, I'm taking you on the scenic route. Inside, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Don't panic. What not to do in a crisis? If Jesus appears asleep in your world right now, rule number one, write this down, don't panic. Write it down, put it on your social medias, put it on your Facebooks, your YouTubes, your iPads, your iPods, your Samsungs, your Gizmos. Oh, there's so much stuff today. But write this down, right across your heart. Don't panic. Jesus may have been asleep in the boat, but he was still there. They failed to realize this, that Jesus was still there. Come on, church. Even when you're going through a storm, Jesus is still there. He may not be, active in that moment, but he's there. Did he not say, Pastor, I shall never leave you. I shall never abandon you. I shall never forsake you. I will be with you always until the ends of the earth. Jesus gave us a promise. Come on, church. Jesus gave us a promise. He says, I will never leave you. Don't put conditions on his words. Don't dictate to Jesus Christ how he never leaves you. Just trust that he never leaves you. The disciples didn't see this. They didn't see that the Messiah was still with them. They didn't understand in that moment they had an opportunity of growth. They had an opportunity to grow. They had an opportunity to say, hang on, Jesus is asleep, but what did he teach us? Well, he taught us to stand in faith. Okay, guys, let's stand in faith. I believe if that was a different scenario and the disciples actually said, let's stand in faith, they themselves would have spoken to the storm and it would have subsided. Come on, church, let's be real. Did not Jesus say, go ye out there and do greater things? So I believe in that moment, if the disciples actually turned around and said, well, let's copy what Jesus... Oh, come on, church, now I'm preaching. 5 more minutes. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I'm going to hit you with a bomb. Some of you are not going to like it, but that's okay. You know the saying, what would Jesus do? Get rid of it. Erase that from your mentality right now. Because to say, what would Jesus do, is to make an assumption in your opinion what you think he would have done. What you should be saying is, well, what did Jesus do? And follow suit. Jesus never told us to opinionate what he would have done. He just said, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. So if the disciples in that moment had decided to let Jesus sleep and learned what he taught, they would have grown. Oh. Guys, when God actually is silent, it's because he wants you to grow. He wants you to stand up and do what he's called you to do. Do we need Jesus 100% of the time? Absolutely we do. I'm not saying anything different. That would be counterproductive and contradictory to the word of God. We need Jesus at all times. Without Jesus, we are nothing, church. But that same Jesus told us to stand and go. So why, church, when storms and struggles come, why do we not activate our faith? Hebrews chapter 11, perhaps the greatest passage of faith in the New Testament church. If we can go there, Hebrews chapter 11. So this is what we do in the times of trouble. And all this morning, we have heard a very consistent theme from the prophecies given, from the words of knowledge given, from our brother who played the drums, which was a really awesome word, man. I just want to declare this over your life right now, that God is going to use you greatly, my friend. Seriously. I think I've spoken to you once before. Yeah, I remember that. You really are a very, very anointed man of God, and God is going to use you as a mouthpiece to many people in this city and in this nation. You keep going and doing what you're doing, okay? You're a good man. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for. Well, what were the disciples hoping for? They were hoping for the storm to go. But it wasn't by prayer that it came. It was by faith. Prayer without faith and faith without prayer, they go hand in hand. Prayer without action is dead. Prayer without faith is dead. Faith without action is dead. But in the times of a storm, sometimes, and hear this in context, prayer is not enough. God says, yes, you've prayed, but now I want you to act. Are we getting something? God wants to grow you guys individually into a level. I believe that God individually for 2019 and beyond, he is taking the Church of Jesus Christ into a new dimension. Come on. There is an awakening happening in the body of Christ. There is something stirring in the body of Christ where individuals and churches and groups are starting to come alive and beginning to just tread the waters of faith a little bit again. You see, with all due respect, the church today in Australia has lost its faith. The enemy has come in and stolen what is rightfully ours through Christ Jesus. And instead of having, you know, some mega churches in Australia have psychiatrists and psychologists on staff. I'm not against that. I read your lips there, sir. If that's what they want to do, kudos to them. But why just can't you believe in the power of God? Why do we have to look for human reasoning to try? Okay, can I say something a little bit hard? Sometimes we see people and doctors diagnose them with this, 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 or this. I look at them and say, you need to be delivered. In the Old Testament, the disciples were walking and praying over people. There wasn't ADD, there wasn't Asperger's, there wasn't all these kind of things. It was like, you need to be delivered. This is not taught in the church today anymore. And it's sad because there are medical conditions, absolutely. But we as Christians, our first port of call must be to go to Jesus Christ. Not to a doctor, not to another human being. Our first port of call is always led by the Spirit of God to Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit will do what He wants to do. We need to have a counter-revolution in church today where we bring back the necessity to have Christ in our vessel once again. It was by faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. It wasn't by prayer. It is by faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's word, so that what can be seen was made out of what could not be seen. It was by faith. And it goes on. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. It was by faith. So when you find yourself in a storm, as many of you guys are in a storm today, activate your faith. Say to that storm, I don't know why I'm in this storm. Lord, you may have brought me to this storm. I may find myself in a storm because of demonic reasoning. Or I may find myself in a storm because of my own actions. It's irrelevant how you find yourself in a storm. What's relevant is how you react to the storm. Come on, church. And if we Christians could get this into our spirits and activate our faith in a new and dynamic way that the Western world has never seen, we will see an explosion of Christ's glory manifest over. So many people are crying out for revival. They're crying out for a move. I mean, Ben Fitzgerald and Daniel Hagin just put on this massive event, and praise God for what they did. But it's a symptom of where the Christians are today. We're crying out for God. Three people. And if we're crying out for God, then we have to cry out for God's principles. I don't feel God will send me to hell because that's not loving. I was talking with another pastor just this week, and it's really sad. It's really sad to see that a lot of people go by their feelings and not by what the Word of God says anymore. I'm sorry to say this, but the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole, we have many elements in the church today that they run by feelings. Well, that person's a good person, so I can't see why they wouldn't go to hell. Because the Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have fallen short. We all need a Savior. Faith. Turn to Christ in faith. You find yourself in financial distress. Faith. You find yourself in a medical diagnosis. Faith. Jesus spoke about faith more than anything. Oh, ye of little faith. He got angry when people didn't receive their healing in his own territory. He didn't get angry at the fact that people couldn't be healed. He got angry at the fact that people had no faith to be healed. Disbelief is a sin. I was with Pastor Alejandro. Some of you guys know Pastor Alejandro. We were ministering in a church in Perth. And I tell you something, now that man is anointed. He shut down the message halfway through. He said, no, I just got to pray. And Alejandro, if you're watching, I love you, brother. We went up to this one man who was on crutches. People were being healed. I mean, we were seeing some creative miracles. We saw a lady's lump in the back physically disappear. And so he goes up to this man on crutches. Who knows Pastor Alejandro? Who's seen him before? Okay. Oh, well, he's very well known here. Okay. And you know what Pastor Alejandro is like? He goes, hello. I love him. He's like my little brother. He goes up to him and he goes, sir, can I pray for you? And the guy in crutches turns around and says, nah. Brother, why not? And he was like this, why not? You know what he turned around and he said? I don't want to lose my compensation. And he was a Christian. I don't want to lose my compensation. He had the faith to be healed, but not the faith to receive. Same thing with Jesus. What do you do when you're in a storm? Number two, don't reject Jesus. He may have sent you there, Luke chapter 4. If you don't believe me, go to Luke chapter 4 yourself. You'll find it. Don't reject Jesus when he actually comes to save you. Too many theologians today said, oh no, that's not how Jesus saves. I'll wait another time. He'll save me in the correct manner. We have Christians like this today who won't accept a biblical teaching because it challenges their own opinions. Faith is the substance of all things. So when a storm comes, church, as I close with this, you find yourself in a storm, praise God. Seriously, you find yourself in the biggest storm. My family died when I was 15. Seriously, all of them, bar my father and my brother, everybody died. So yes, I've experienced trauma. But I have a God who's given me joy. I have a God who's given me faith. Come on, church, wake up. I have a God who's given me complete and utter peace because I have the faith to believe that though I cannot see this right now, there is a day coming where the storms are going to subside. And the Apostle Paul said it in the most beautiful way. He says, for I am torn between the two things. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, I believe it is. Let me go there. Woo! Are you guys getting something this morning? Am I yelling too loud? I'm trying to. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. For I am pulled in two directions. I very much want to leave this life. Was he suicidal? No. But he knew where his heart lied. He knew who he was. He said, I just want... Hey, Christian, have you ever got to a point where you just say, I just want to be with the Lord? I'm over it, God. Just take, come on, church, let's be real. How many of you guys, at some point in your Christian life, you've said, I just want to go home, God. Please just, I was on my knees years ago. Please just take me, God. I don't want to do this anymore. They hate me. Elijah was suicidal. Oh, God, I've just called down fire from heaven and now I'm running from a woman. I saw your miracle, God. I believed in faith that you would consume the altar. And then the 900 prophets, they were slain. And now I'm running from, please. He gets into a cave. He says, Lord, I just want to die. Come on, church. Ever got to a point where you just say, I've had enough? For I am torn. I love that. I am torn, pulled, wedged out in two different directions. I want very much to leave this life and be with Christ, which is a far better thing. But for your sake, did you know you're... Oh, well, have I got two more minutes, Pastor? One? One? Okay. Did you know your storm isn't for you? Come on. Your storm is for someone else who's going to learn from your example. Your storm, the Bible says in Mark that when Jesus went out, he says, and other boats went with them. What happened to the other boats? What you do in your storm affects more than you think. What you do in your storm doesn't only affect you, but it's going to show your family your moral fiber. When you're going through a storm, Jesus is looking at you and saying, not only are you going to be affected by this, but your greater relationships are going to learn from this. See, when God gives a miracle, it's not only for you, it's to show people around you the glory of God in your life. Because when you turn around and say, I can't do this anymore, your friends and your family, they look at you and they say, wow, he's at the end, but you know what? He's still pushing on through. Stand up, church. Push on through. What do you do when you're in a storm? You stand on faith. And you say, God, I may not understand why the storm is roaring around me. I may not get why I'm in this position. But one thing I know is that, Jesus, you never ever said you would leave me. Jesus, you promised me that despite hell or high water, you are going to be with me. Church, you need to get this, that Jesus has never left you. Even in your addictions, your drug addictions, your sexual addictions, your alcoholic addictions, Jesus never left you. He's just saying, learn from this. God had to deliver me from a chronic addiction. For many years of my life, as a preacher, as a Christian, I had an addiction that had to go from me. It wasn't until I learned to stand in faith and say, God, Jesus, this is yours. Take it from me now. Because the more we continue to focus on the storms rather than the one who is the Lord of the storms, your storm is never going to subside. Put your focus on Christ and remember what he taught you. He said to you, go out. Paul, the father of the New Testament church, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So imitate Christ. God wants to do a work in this place this morning. I haven't preached eloquently today, but I really sense in the Holy Spirit that many of you really needed this word. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. You know the song, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That is God in your life. But that same God will leave you at times to stand up in faith. How many people here this morning have lost their faith? Be honest. The problem's too great. The medical diagnosis is too strong. How many right now are going in addictions and you just can't seem to break the cycle? I hear you, I was there. How many of you right now are going through all kinds of things and it just seems like, Lord, I just want to go home. Amen, I see that hand, brother. I see those hands. Amen, brother. And you know, praise God for being strong. It's awesome that you're honest. God's not looking for a perfect church. He is the Lord of the perfect church. He's looking for a heart that will just listen. How many of you right now are going through things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you just keep going back to it? The storm is too hard. The waters are too rough. Oh, I'm drowning. There are people in this room today. You're drowning. You're drowning, guys. You don't have a life jacket because you let it go. Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, he walked for about 2 meters, roughly. Who knows? And of course, he looked at the storm again. What happened? Nobody closed their eyes. I don't do that. Bible says if you're ashamed of me, my Father should be ashamed of you. Keep your eyes open. How many people in this room right now can say, yeah, Justin, that's me. I've lost my faith. My marriage is failing. My business is going down the drain. My kids are messing up. My health is leaving me. My money is depleted. I'm addicted to porn. I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to substances. Come on, let's be real, church. Oh, man, look at these hands coming up. Whoa, come on, come on. I want to tell you, with those people who raise their hands, Jesus loves you more than you will ever, 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 ever know. And he promised that he would never leave you. You, sir. That is you this morning. And you want to have an encounter with the risen King Jesus Christ. I invite you just to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to push you over or anything like that. I just want, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, come. But I'm not going to give you a false promise. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, because it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to give you a promise that, oh, you come to Jesus Christ and snap, crackle, bang, all your problems are gone. They're not gone. But with Jesus in your boat, the problems are only problems that have a solution. Anybody else? If you don't know Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior, you want to come? Last chance. I know there's more people here. The Spirit of God can't lie. He's telling me. Don't fight it. If that is you right now and you... praise God, right now, and you feel it. You know that if you were to die tonight, you wouldn't make it. Last chance, come now. These people have come. Praise God. Young